Welcome to the Kingdom Educators Podcast, where we empower Christian teachers to grab a hold of heaven's hope-filled perspective so you can activate transformational impact in your classroom and community. I'm your host, Jessica Glover, and I warmly welcome you to wake up to your strategic placement as a Kingdom Educator, anointed by the Creator and equipped by all of heaven to release the radical goodness of God that will transform lives and reshape education. This podcast is called Positioned to Win. Last week, we heard from David Schmoos his personal testimony about how God brought him into the world of education and how he found himself with students who needed some freedom. And he actually invited one of them into his home. He and his wife took on a foster daughter, and they had a situation happen where he got to exercise his authority in Christ. And I mentioned during the podcast that I would like to come back and talk specifically about our authority in Christ as it pertains to our role as Kingdom educators in the classroom. So today, I hope that this teaching will be both encouraging and empowering for you because you are truly positioned to win. So let's get started. Have you ever pondered the welcome home scene in the parable of the prodigal son? You know, where the son has just confessed how he's no longer worthy to be called a son. And instead of the father addressing his son's sin, he actually calls for him to be clothed in the best robe. He places a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And then the father arranges for a feast to celebrate. It's so interesting to me because if this story were to happen today, I would expect the father to reprimand the son, tell him what he needs to do to make up for his sin, and once the retribution is made, then everything will be all right. But no, this father in the prodigal son story is welcoming and he clothes his son to look like him. That's so interesting to me. He invites his son to come home as a son and puts the best on him, the best robe, the ring on his finger, the sandals on his feet. I'm going to read this story from Luke 15, 11 through 22. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got up together all that he had, set out for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out to go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This parable reminds me that the Father doesn't treat us according to our deeds. Whether we have done good things or bad, He treats us according to our true identity. That's a huge key. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and He's inviting us to return to wear what royal sons and daughters wear. He has given us a robe of righteousness. You know, Psalms 132:9 says, "Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy." It's interesting how before Jesus' death and resurrection, the priests were called to clothe themselves in righteousness. So interesting, because in the New Testament, we're called priests of the Lord. Even look at Isaiah 61:10. Again, it's you're a priest of the Lord. Now that's Old Testament, but it's interesting. We are priests of the Lord. And what did priests do? They went before God on behalf of the people, right? They had to sacrifice. But now that Jesus has come and he's been the ultimate sacrifice, we actually get to invite people as priests into the presence of God by inviting them into his presence to connect with him. You know, I talk a lot about teaching connected. It's hearing God's voice, our competitive advantage of being a kingdom person. We can hear God's voice. We move with him. We stay in touch with him. He shows us what to do each day. We follow his voice and we know no other, right? Scripture says that. And we follow him and do what he's asked us to do. And we see breakthrough happen. It's so fun that we get to be a priest. We get to stand in the position of calling people into the kingdom to make a way for them to encounter the king. Isaiah 59:17 says, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. Again, Old Testament, but there's that reflection back on Ephesians 6 of putting on the armor, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, the gospel shoes of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the buckle of truth. God has positioned us to win by putting on the armor of his might. He has given us authority to win. Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. I just want to invite us into this place where we're realizing that he is asking us to step into our true royal position, to be clothed as a son and a daughter with this robe of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So our robe of righteousness, it covers us in the righteousness of Christ. It covers us in the blood of the Lamb. And it makes me think of that verse from, I think it's in Revelation 3. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, that they didn't love their lives unto death. We are covered in the blood. We carry the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. It prophesies those things that are not yet as though they are, and they overcame not by loving their lives unto death. We live this sacrificial life as kingdom educators on mission, right? We're doing the work of our king in the schools, surrendered to the king. So that's our robe of righteousness. And then we're being invited to put on a signet ring of the king. And I know I've referenced this in these earlier podcasts that I put out. I think it was in a 1, 2, and 3. I talked about the signet ring of the king. And it's bearing his authority to rule and reign as an ambassador here on earth. Luke 10:19 talks a bit about that. So it says, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. And that's in the Amplified. In Diane Fink's book, Identity Prayer, it includes this declaration, I walk in spiritual authority. She quotes a number of authors and scripture, including Dutch Sheets from the Give Him 15. It was from February 28, 23, where he says, one of the primary keys to success of the church is understanding authority. More discussion is given to power than authority in the church. But spiritual power does us no good if we do not understand authority. Let me say that again. Spiritual power does no good if we do not understand authority. To be sure, they are twins working together, the power and the authority. However, the proper order is that we operate in Christ's authority, which releases Holy Spirit's power. Now, as kingdom people, we believe in the triune God, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who Jesus sent, that we would be filled with power from on high. He gives us the power charge to do the things we've been called to do. He empowers us with wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus, Ephesians 1:15 through 17. And he helps us to step into that place of not burning out. He gives us ideas and strategies from heaven. He renews and restores our soul. Diane continues by saying, to be in authority, you must be under authority, which makes sense. Someone gives us the authority, right? Matthew 8:5 through 13 says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, A centurion came to him and asked for help. You probably remember this story. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and he said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you have believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. Jesus has delegated authority to you, his follower, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them, to cast out demons, to heal the sick. Remember when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus is releasing his followers, and that includes us, to know that we have been given all authority in heaven on earth as his son or daughter. He has given us the authority to go make disciples, to tell people about the kingdom, to tell people about the work that Jesus has done to clear them of all sin and to invite them into the family of God, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us in his word. And he tells us that he will always be with us to the very end of the age. In Mark 16, 15 through 18, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. It's so powerful. He's saying, I not only delegate you to share the gospel with people, to invite them into the kingdom of God and to baptize them, but I give you authority to drive out demons, to speak in new tongues. Remember, tongues is a gift that is open to all. And it connects us with the very heart of God. It says it gives us his utterances and it our spirit connecting with his spirit to pray the very will of God, that they'll be able to pick up snakes with their hands and they can drink deadly poison and it won't hurt them at all. They can place their hands on sick people and they will get well. So powerful. That's when we talk about signs, wonders, and miracles happening in our classroom, that we have been given authority from heaven to represent the King. And that brings me to the next step, the signet ring. The signet ring is so important. And the ring is that piece of, I am representing the King. One of the first places that we hear about a signet ring, and I'm getting this information from a little research I did. I found this great blog by Chris Hendricks. It's called The Signet Ring. And he says, in one of the first places that we hear about the signet ring is in Genesis, when Pharaoh took off his signet ring, and remember, he gave it to Joseph. He made him second in command and he gave him all authority of Pharaoh through that ring. In Esther, the king gave Haman to give him authority to destroy the Jews. He gave him his ring. But the king later took it back from Haman and he gave it to Mordecai. Mordecai's decree saved the life of the Jews. In the New Testament, we see the father give the ring to the prodigal son, just as we shared at the beginning, when he returned. It was symbolic in saying, this is still my son. That's so powerful. He is still my son. He has my authority to do things in my name. And then in Haggai 2:23, he says to Zerubbabel, I will set you as a signet ring, the sign of my sovereign presence and authority. The King of Kings basically gave Zerubbabel all his authority. And instead of giving him a ring, he told him, you are my ring. You are my authority. You are my presence on earth. You bear my mark and you will leave my imprint in everything you touch. Wow. It's like us. We're ambassadors of the King, placed in specific time of history at a specific place on the earth in a specific assignment in the world of education, and you are God's ring. You're his authority. You are his presence on earth, revealing the heart of the Father to those that you minister to every day, staff, students, families, the community. You bear his mark and you leave his imprint on everything you touch. Whew. That's powerful. Wow. Now, the signet ring we've talked about, it's important. It had the seal of the king engraved on it. And with it, he sealed or stamped letters to prove it was his word. It represented his authority, like I've said. And anyone that the king would give that ring to had his authority to do whatever they said or did, because it basically said the king himself had declared it. The ring had executive authority and power. I hope this is hitting you. It's really, really cool. It was not to be taken lightly by anyone who wore it. I mean, I hope this is opening up your eyes to the fact that you have Father God's authority. What you do is backed up by the King of Kings. And as you stay connected to him, he's going to show you what to do, and there's going to be authority behind it. You have his executive authority and power, and it's not taken lightly. So if we fast forward to when Jesus was on earth, he spoke to his disciples in Luke 10:19, and he gave them all authority. He, in essence, gave them his signet ring. Then just before he ascended in Matthew 28, he reminds them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. We just read this. It wasn't just some of the authority or most of it. He gave them all of his authority. He then sent them out with what's known to you and me as our given authority as followers of Christ. Wow. Diane Fink says again from her book on the identity declarations, your relationship with Jesus gives you the authority to do the work of the kingdom that he has called you to. Your relationship with Jesus gives you the authority to do the work of the kingdom that he's called you to for us in the world of education. So what is this really saying? You staying connected to the heart of the Father for knowing his voice and no other, for staying in an intimate space with him, hearing his voice, hearing his heartbeat for you first, and then your classroom and the community you serve, is paramount to you knowing and walking in your authority. Your personal history with God is paramount. You knowing who he is to you and for you, following the Holy Spirit, allowing him to teach you and lead you in prayer and in action, learning to follow his promptings and trusting his guidance, tuning into his voice as you go, and learning to teach connected with him in the classroom is paramount to you walking in your authority that Christ Jesus has given you. It helps us stay connected to his heart, to hear his words to us, to be aware of what to do and what to say. The last piece that we're going to put on is our gospel shoes of peace. If we think back to our prodigal son story, the sandals that the Father put on his son. If we look at the armor of God, that's where we talk about the gospel shoes of peace. It's in Ephesians 6:10-18, and it reads, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place. Verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he asks us, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So we're taught by Paul to keep on staying in connection, keep on praying, keeping our mind set on things above, focusing on what Father God is saying to us via the Holy Spirit. If we really hone in, though, on verse 15 to look at these gospel shoes of peace, listen to it again. and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Putting on our shoes, we're ready to go out the door, right? We're ready to go for our day. Whatever we're doing, we put on the right kind of shoes. These shoes make us ready, the gospel shoes of peace. Think about that next time you put on your shoes. Thank the Lord that He's given you the gospel shoes of peace to go into any place and take ground for the kingdom. You have His authority to take space. Your classroom, your domain, you bring the king in there, and that takes part of His kingdom. His reign begins to happen in your classroom as you take authority in that space. In my book, Kingdom Educators, Grab Your Hope Goggles, it's a 5-week devotional. Day 22 says, we are positioned to win. That's actually the name of that entry. And I'd like to read to you a little bit from it. It starts out with John 15 through 16 NIV. It says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I wrote, you've been grafted in as a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, and He's inviting you to step into your Father's business. He's prepared you to bear His glory in all you do. He's making known to you His heart for your position in the world of education through His word, both the Bible, the Logos word, and His Rhema, His now word, to your heart. Jesus has made a way for you to be closely knit to the one who's created you for greatness. It's time to take up the invitation to be fully His, letting every part of your heart connect with the Father's heart for you. He's promised that He'll give you whatever you ask. Wow. You know, in this verse, John 15, 15 through 16, Jesus is saying, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. That's our assignment, to go and bear fruit, to show off His face to the world around us, to be His hands and feet, to share the gospel through the things that we do, through what we say, calling out the gold in our kids, coming in the opposite sometimes of what's going on in our current environment where there's complaining, we choose to rejoice. We choose to focus on what we can be thankful for instead of complaining. He appointed us to go bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So as you're going to bear the fruit that will last, He's saying the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I just find that really powerful as a reminder that as we're doing the work of the King, we can ask for whatever we have need of. That's just a side note of encouragement today. What do you have need of? He knows you have heart, mind, body, and positional needs in order to fulfill your call in the world of education. And God's got all you need for life and godliness and every spiritual blessing in Christ. And that comes from 2 Peter 1:3. He trusts you with your students and their families. He trusts you to come to Him and lay all your burdens at His feet. He trusts you to partner with peace because you know deep down inside that this is all about Him and you need Him to show up or it's not going to work. You know that you could get eaten up by your work, not setting boundaries, having just too much to do. We could work 24/7 and we still wouldn't be done, right? I mean, education will just eat you up. But when we rely on friend Holy Spirit and we ask for what we need, and we step into that place of expecting Him to give us what we need, we're able to continue the mission of going and bearing fruit that will last. So good. So we've been invited to do our Father's business. He's prepared us to bear His glory in all we do. We've been invited to let every part of our heart connect with His heart for us individually. And He's promised that He'll give us whatever we ask for if we dedicate our life to bear His fruit. And He's asking us to ask for what we need and to step into faith and believe. So let's come back to our original topic, positioned to win. What can I do with my authority? Well, Jesus delegated authority to you as follower to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them, to cast out demons. So the demonically can be set free, just like David Schmoos's testimony in last week's podcast. You should have a listen if you haven't. His foster daughter got to be set free, and he and his wife got to play a part in that. We're called to heal the sick, speak in new tongues, pick up snakes, and drink deadly poison, and not be hurt, according to Matthew 28:18-20. So what does this practically look like in our schools to use our authority, walk in our authority? What does this actually look like? Okay, so here's the practicals, okay? You're providing an environment for miracles to happen. You're making the space. First off, in our own thoughts, we're being a thermostat and not a thermometer. Jessica, what do you mean by that? I got that saying from Steve Backlund from Igniting Hope Ministries. And I love the fact that we get to choose what we think, right? And our thinking affects how we behave. So if I set my mind on things above, things that are pure, lovely, holy, of good repute, I'm going to be the thermostat. I'm going to set my space and not just reflect what everyone else is feeling or doing in my space. I'm going to set it. And what does that look like? How do I set the atmosphere of my classroom? Well, for me, it looked like coming into my classroom, having already spent time with God, and I was worshiping or praying on the way to work. I come in my classroom. I would pray over my desks and chairs. Sometimes I would even physically anoint the room with oil. I would pray over my windows and my doors, commanding anything that didn't submit itself to Jesus to leave, to not even come into my room, to stay off the property of the school. And I prepared my heart by releasing the heavies that came against us, those heavy things where Jesus is talking about casting all my cares upon him, for he cares for me. And it was just regularly taking care of my heart by making sure that I wasn't holding anything against someone, or that I was making sure to forgive and not harboring any bitterness. Now, probably like you, you might work with a staff like I did, my first staff, and it was not a peaceful, welcoming place. It was a little bit hostile. We actually had a number of administration. They probably lasted at the max 3 years at a time. So there was probably four different principals in the 8 years that I worked in that first building. I wouldn't say it was the most friendly place, but I had to make a regular decision, since the Lord called me there and he had said to stay, that I needed to make sure that my heart was positioned in a place where I wasn't going to take offense, right? Because that gets in the way of truly loving people. And if we don't have love, then we're just a resounding gong. So I'm going to make sure that I'm in a good place. And I also had a lot of things come up for me personally, where when I first started teaching, I had bad memories about my own learning experience. And so I actually worked on getting inner healing to set myself in a good space for being able to serve out of a pure heart. I also have a friend, Chelsea Van Tall, who I interviewed probably about 5 podcasts ago. And she has this awesome cleansing prayer I wanted to share with you. I think it would be a great addition to your morning and or evening routine of just staying connected and clean before the Father. The cleansing prayer says this: I repent of all sin. I forgive everyone, including myself, from the heart. I repent from judging anyone, including myself, from the heart. I let Jesus be the judge, and I pour out the cup of bitterness. I command any spirit that does not declare Jesus Christ coming in the flesh to leave now, quickly and quietly, in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, come fill me up. There's more room for you now. And then she just would begin her day. At the end of my day, I loved to use this letting go of ungodly responsibilities. And what I mean is all the things that Jesus said were actually his, that I maybe had taken on during the day. You know, that heavy email from the parent, or student told me about how they're couch surfing and they're actually homeless and so-and-so didn't have lunch today. And this staff member has a dying parent. This staff member is having chemo, you know, all the stuff, right? There's a lot of heavy. But when Jesus is saying, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's inviting us to come and cast what he paid for on him. He is the load bearer. He is the one who carries the burdens. It's not my job to carry them. He's just asked me to stand there, walk in his authority, and carry his name. I've got my robe of righteousness, my signet ring of authority, and I have on my gospel shoes of peace. I'm clothed as a daughter or a son of the Most High every day when I go in. And as I've clothed myself, I'm positioned to win. I'm positioned to win because I know what Father God has called me to. I know what he's asked me to do. And I'm remembering that I have more authority than any principality or power that might like to have its way in my classroom. I'll probably follow this podcast up with some more information on binding and loosing our spiritual blessings on our classroom. and things of that nature. But for now, I think that's a good start on what does it mean to really walk in my authority? Remember with me, we started out with the prodigal son. We're being invited to dress like a king's son or daughter, and we're given his authority. And with that, we get to walk in peace. So please send me a note if you have any questions or you would like to continue this conversation. You can visit my website, kingdomeducators.com. I appreciate you joining me today. It is such a pleasure to have you join the show. Please take a moment to refer this podcast to your Christian friends in education so they too might be encouraged and blessed. And I always appreciate a review of the podcast as that helps the algorithm for other Christian teachers to get a hold of this podcast and be blessed by the content as well. Have a wonderful week. Do you have your dancing shoes on yet? You should, because the long-awaited course, Your Kingdom Classroom, is about to go live. Yes, I am so excited to announce to you that the 4-video series accompanied by activation guides is almost ready to be released. So keep your eye on kingdomeducators.com for the release of my next course, Your Kingdom Classroom. Now, I want you to know it includes kingdom principles for calling out the gold in your students. That's right. It's focused on identity, the key to bringing student motivation back to the classroom for helping kids align their behaviors with their true identity, the identity that God has given them. What a powerful tool to use in this day and age when there is a huge assault on identity. So grab a colleague, grab some time either this summer, or you could even start now. But dip into what it means to speak words of life in your classroom. Keep a look on kingdomeducators.com. All right, see you on the other side. Thanks for tuning into this podcast. Please be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends in education so they too can be strengthened and encouraged in living their kingdom identity out loud in this pivotal hour. And please visit kingdomeducators.com to receive your Kingdom Educator Daily Truth Declarations, my encouraging newsletter, and be the first to know about my newest resources, online and in-person events. And be sure to find me on the socials at kingdom.educators. Until next time, don't forget you are a history maker, and what you do every day is transforming lives.